Well, good morning. Some of you were laughing back there because I was trying to still get my harness on. It's a little bit of an unhandy piece, but it does help. So, anyhow, I'd like for you this morning to open your Bibles to Genesis 26. As I was looking at what God would have me share this morning, I've been going through 1 Corinthians, and I just didn't feel like that was the place to be this morning. And I felt like God leading me to Isaac. Lessons from the life of Isaac is what I have titled my message this morning. And we're going to go through chapter 26, and we're going to look at a bunch of different things that happened in the life of Isaac, and maybe pull some things from that for our personal walk today. I might also mention, be praying for Alex. He is probably on a night bus right now, headed from Thailand into Laos, where Alex and Vonda, what's the name of the other guy? Nate, are going to be helping at a mission building a barn, I think a pole barn or something. So they're traveling by night. He said they've got about 14 to 15 hours of traveling time. So pray for them if you think about it. And it is nighttime over there right now. Genesis 26. And we're going to just kind of take this verse by verse, section by section this morning. A little bit of a background here. This is talking about Isaac. And it's talking about the time where Isaac was digging some wells, and they just got covered over. And there's also a lot of other things that are happening here with Isaac's life. But let's back up a little bit. Abraham, Isaac's dad, had passed at this point. They had buried him. And so Isaac was living at this time, I believe he was living in, it's very hard to pronounce, but Luhairoi, I believe if I can say it right. Take me to the next screen. I don't have a whole bunch of screens this morning. I actually just have two. This one here and the one that you just saw. Luhairoi would have been, I'm not exactly sure, but I think it's somewhere. You know what? I didn't get that one down exactly. I'm not exactly sure where that's at. But anyhow, he was living there at this point. He had a family. He had children. And life was going on. Verse 1 of chapter 26, and it says, "And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Abraham also had faced a famine," if you remember. And it got to be a pretty serious famine. So where they were living now was close to, would have been in Canaan. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. So we've got up here, I know it's not very clear, but Gerar is right over here. So that's where Isaac went. And let's find out for a second here why he went there. Verse 2, it says, "And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of." So the thing to do would have been, they had a famine, so it was, there wasn't any food in this area. This was famine. If he'd have continued all the way down over here to this side over here, that's where Egypt was. That's where they had food. So, why did God tell him, don't go to Egypt? But that's what God said. So why did Isaac not do a little bit of homework and say, you know what, God? Egypt has food. Gerar is not guaranteed to have food. But that's where God told him to go. I want us to think for a little bit about listening. Did you ever take into consideration that God wants all of your attention? Isaac didn't head this direction and say, God, for a time, temporarily, I'm going to hear you. But God wants our complete attention. Isaac listened to what God had said, and he went a direction that did not make sense. He went a direction where God told him to go. Why? We'll find that out here in just a second. Let's keep reading in verse 2. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land. That means live here. Go to that land and live here. And I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham by thy father. Abraham, thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. What a beautiful, beautiful promise he was given Isaac here. If you go where I'm telling you to go, I'm going to bless you. And he's going to bless him beyond what he can imagine. Why? Let's look at verse 5. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So he was telling Isaac, because your dad listened, because your dad followed my commandments, I'm going to send you here and you're going to receive the exact same blessings as dad got. I want to talk to us men for a bit here this morning. And I don't want to be heavy-handed, but I want us men to think a little bit. Your leaders in your homes, your families are watching. That's not at all to make you feel guilty. But your families are watching. Grandparents, your grandkids are watching. Your leaders in your homes. Abraham was a leader. He obeyed, and God says, because he obeyed, I'm going to bless his son. That really spoke to me when I looked at that. Because God saw obedience in Abraham, he also now saw it in Isaac as he spoke to him here. God wants our full attention. Jeremiah 33:3 is a verse that came to me as I was studying here. That verse says, Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So here he's saying we call unto him and he's going to answer us. But guess what? If we want to hear that answer, we have to pay attention. We have to have our ears on. Something we used to say at camp. Craig, you might remember that. If we were talking to one of the boys at the Fairplay Wilderness Camp, we wanted them to listen, and we'd tell them, get your ears on. I'm talking to you. Listen. We need to have our ears on. God told him here in Jeremiah, he says, I will answer thee, but if they're not listening, they're not going to hear it. So he wants us to listen. We're to be awake in the fact that God desires communication with us. So it's not just listening, but it's communicating with him. I'd like for you to turn for a bit. Keep your finger in Genesis 26. But go over to John chapter 16. I'm going to look at a couple of verses in John 16 really quick here before we move on. John 16 verse 7. He says, Nevertheless, and I've talked about this in I think maybe the last two messages. I'm not sure, but using some of these scriptures here. But here he says, Nevertheless, I tell you, and this is Jesus speaking, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So he's telling them, I'm going to leave. I've been with you in person. Now that I'm leaving to go back to my Father, I'm going to send somebody to be with you. And that is the Holy Spirit. And then he says in the next couple of verses, And when he has come, the Holy Spirit... When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And I'm not going to dig too much into these verses, but on the other hand, let's pick a few things here in verse 8 here. Let's see what he's saying here, because he's asking him in these verses here, he's telling him what the Holy Spirit is going to do. And we are to pay attention to what he's telling us here. He was telling the disciples, this is what's going to happen when the Holy Spirit comes back, which is also for us today. We are to hear. He says of sin. First of all, let's think about that word reprove in verse 8. And when he has come, he will reprove. That word reprove has the idea of convict. It also has the idea of illumination, causing us to see. So he's saying here, the Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to reprove the world of sin. Verse 9 says, of sin because they believed not on me. There were many that weren't believing at that time. So this was a conviction that he was bringing here because of sin. Then he says of righteousness or of redemption. So this is the illumination. He says, because I go to my Father, you're not going to see me anymore. I came, I did what I was called to do. You're going to understand the righteousness. And then he says of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Helping them to understand, to visualize the judgment that had already happened. And by the way, as I was digging into this, I got to thinking about judgment. And my mind went to eternal punishment, to hell. So we don't talk a whole lot about that, do we? It's a negative subject, but it's real. I think we need to realize that. But something that really stuck out to me as I dug into this, there's a scripture in Matthew 25, and I did not write that scripture down, but it does say in that verse that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Heaven was prepared for the believer. And that's why heaven was prepared, and he's still there preparing a place for us. Can I say it this way, that hell was not prepared for us, but it was for the devil and his angels? So that's not God's will that we go there, but we choose. So the encouragement this morning is, let's not choose that. Let's choose to be with the Father. Let's choose heaven over hell. And that's going to depend on how we walk our life. Who's going to be our God on this side of eternity? Then he says something in verse 13, a couple of verses after that. He says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit has come, he will guide you into all truth. How am I going to know that? By hearing. We read the Word of God and we hear. So we got to have our ears on. Let's go on to verse 6. Back again to Genesis 26. Verse 6 says, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Now that's just a simple 5-word verse. Doesn't look like it means much, but I think that verse speaks volumes. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. What was he saying here? Isaac walked in obedience. God spoke to him, said, go over here, and Isaac went. I don't see him asking any questions. He went. And then we're going to see something of Isaac here, one of his weaknesses. And the men of the place, verse 7, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. Where else do we see that happen? Somebody know? Abraham, his dad, did the exact same thing. When Abraham did it, God brought a plague to the king and those that were with him. And they made sure that Abraham's wife was safe. Now here again, he does the same thing. And it came to pass, verse 8, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. And how saidst thou, she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. Isaac had a fear of dying because of his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. And how saidst thou, she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, what is this that thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lien with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Now, I'm not sure how to put this into perspective, other than the fact that Isaac messed up. And God took his mess up and turned it around for good. Now, I'm not saying this morning you're supposed to mess up. That's not at all where I'm at. For the sake of God turning it around, making something good. But God did that for Isaac. Isaac was a man that obeyed, And in this specific scripture, God turned that around and he brought them protection. I believe God saw the heart of Isaac. Let's go on to verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Now, I don't understand that exactly, because he was in a land where there was famine going on, other than God moved really quickly here. I looked at this verse. It says, in the same year. And I thought, well, could it have been a different year? But as I dug into it, it looks like it was the exact same year they had the famine that Isaac sowed, and he received 100-fold. Whatever happened, God began to bless Isaac, and he became very wealthy. To the place, verse 13, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. So he was in the land of the Philistines at this point, and they envied him. Envy is really ungratefulness. I believe ungratefulness is a big, big trap. I don't know if you've ever thought about what ungratefulness really looks like. Have you ever seen a person that was ungrateful that is joyful? Normally when you're ungrateful, there's not a whole lot of joy coming through you. I believe gratefulness is a really, really big thing in the life of the believer. The Philistines envied him. They were jealous. They didn't like what was going on because he was gaining so much wealth. Verse 15, for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. So let's talk a bit about these wells. What is it in life that we need for sustenance? If you don't have it for probably 3 or 4 days, it's not going to be good. Somebody tell me what it is. Water. So water is actually a picture of life. Many times when they were traveling, they would find a place where there was water, and that's where they would set up their tents. That was their home. You didn't just set down your tents and expect to survive without water. This was desert. So the wells which his father had dug, they closed up. Life. They were shutting down life because they didn't like somebody. Because they wanted that property. So they had filled those wells with dirt. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. So Abimelech was the king here. And finally he looked at Isaac and said, you know what? You're becoming too strong. Go. Go. I don't need you here anymore. And Isaac departed thence. And again, I don't see Isaac arguing. Isaac was at a place where he knew God was going to take care of him. Verse 17, and Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. So now we have Isaac leaving Gerar, which is right over here. And I tried to find where the valley is, and the only thing I could find was that it's possibly over in here, closer to the Mediterranean there, where he may have set his next, where he set up his next tent. Isaac went to Gerar, and again, I don't see Isaac coming back at the king fighting against him. He went. Verse 18, and Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. So there were wells there that were closed up. They had names. He brings back the original names. In verse 19, and Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. So they dug this well back up and they found springing water. This was not just water. This was springing water. This was running water. It was a well that he wanted to hang on to because there was life there. Verse 20. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek because they strove with him. So Isaac saw the fighting that was going on here. and he made no bones about it. Let's move on. Verse 21, it says, and they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. So now we have Isaac and his men had dug two wells. The Philistines came in and they took both of the wells from him. Isaac seems to me had the right at this point. I'm going to pull my men together and we're going to fight. But he didn't. He just moved on. He persevered. He moved on. Verse 22. And he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. So finally, they had a well that was going to be theirs. They could put their tents down, and this is where they could live. I see in Isaac here something that I think I need in my life. Perseverance in the midst of struggle. Too many times when struggle shows up, I have the tendency, I'm just going to give up. Let's move another direction. Isaac didn't give up. He continued to dig wells. He continued to look for life where they could settle. God doesn't always allow everything to turn out to our liking. I find that's life. It's not always how I want it. It's not always how you want it. But Isaac realized that it's more than that. It's continuing to seek after God, continuing to look for that water. We hear often where we hear that God provides for us, and He does. But in America here we have the idea, if God provides for us, I'm going to become wealthy. So let's step across the sea for a minute. Harold would know this. And we go to another country where wealth is not an option. The believers are being persecuted. They're literally dying for their faith. Is God caring for them? Harold, how's God caring for them? You're nodding. I'm putting you on the spot here. How's God caring for them? Okay, so there's something that's deeper than our wealth. God is providing for them spiritually. Brothers and sisters, this morning I believe that's something we're missing in America. We've got so much. And we turn our hearts toward wealth. If God's going to provide for me, my bank account's going to grow. God is going to give us what we need spiritually, and He's going to give it in abundance. And if you want to know what that abundance is like, you need to hear some stories of those that are suffering, of those that are sitting in cells that are so tiny they can't even lay down. God's providing for them spiritually to be able to make it. They are not giving up. They're continuing the fight. Some of them are taken out and they're killed. But God provided for them in a way that maybe we're not quite understanding like we should. It's not financial. Does it mean God can't bless us financially? No. But He's providing for them in a way that is eternal. And I think sometimes we miss the eternal perspective on that. Let's go down to verse 23. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. Now, I don't understand this. We're not seeing that God told Isaac to leave at all. Here he had settled down to verse 22. He had settled down, he had dug a well. It was his well. And now in verse 23, it says he went up to Beersheba. So here's where he was. He had gone over here to the shoreline or somewhere in this area. Now he's going back over here to Beersheba. And we don't see why he went, other than we know he was following the Lord. Did God tell him? Was the grass getting weak where he was at for his herds? We don't really know. But it says in verse 24, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Now I want you to watch what Isaac did here. Remember what he did at all the other places? What was the first thing that they did? Are you tracking with me? What's the first thing they did at the other places they went to? They dug a well. They looked for life. They needed sustenance. What's happening here in verse 25? They followed God to Beersheba. He says, and he builded an altar there. What was his first thing that he did here? He built an altar. This is a picture of sacrifice. The next phrase says, and he called upon the name of the Lord. So this is a picture of Isaac. I see this whole process as Isaac is being grown. I don't know if that's a way to say it or not. God is growing him. He's taking him from one spot to the next. And now he finally gets to a place here where the first thing he does, he builds an altar. Sacrifice to God. And he calls on the name of the Lord. That's worship. He comes to a place where that's the first thing he's going to do. I'm going to honor God by sacrificing and worshiping. He pitched his tent there. He said, this is where I'm staying. And then they dug a well. I find that a beautiful picture. Isaac had learned, I believe, that God was there if he was willing to hear and if he was willing to walk in obedience. Let's go down to verse 26. Then Abimelech, remember he was the king that had tossed him out. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. So these men are coming over to Isaac now. They showed up, and right away Isaac's like, why did you come here? You hate me. You sent me away from where I was at, so why are you here? And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. So they're painting a picture to Isaac here. We actually have treated you quite well. We send you away peacefully, and it looks like maybe they did. But Isaac is wondering, so why do you come now? You really didn't want me there. But I want you to see what Isaac does in verse 30. Isaac forgives them. It doesn't specifically say that, but his actions prove it. Verse 30 says, and he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. That is a picture of, I will accept what you're asking for. I hold no grudges. Let's make this vow together. So that's what they did. Verse 31 says, and they rose up betimes in the morning. That means they get up early in the morning. They swear one to another. And Isaac sent them away. Lost my spot there. And they departed from him in peace. So Isaac forgave. The men went back, and there was peace. Look what happens in verse 32. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. You see how God blesses us? Maybe it's not always physically, but there's a spiritual blessing. When we walk in obedience, we love, we forgive. And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. God is faithful. God promised him at the beginning of this chapter that if you walk with me, I'm going to bless you. And Isaac proved throughout this chapter that he was not going to give up on God. He was walking with God. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. And God provided. God provided for him here physically. But he also wants to provide for us spiritually. How did God provide for each one of us here this morning? I'm going to share a short little story, and then we'll close. There was once an artist who painted. This artist did some beautiful, beautiful pictures. He came back to his hometown. He had become famous at this point. He came back to his hometown, and he went to one of the secondhand stores. And he was just looking in the window. In this window, was one of his paintings, one of the originals from way back. But he looked at it, and it was hanging in there. The frame was busted. It looked pretty bad. He said, I can't just go in and ask for that picture. It's mine, but I can't do that. So instead, he went in and he purchased the picture. He took the picture home. He fixed the frame, and he put it back to where it should be. That picture is you and I. God sent his son to come get that picture that is broken. I don't know about you, but I'm broken. I think we're all broken. It's part of life, isn't it? Isaac was on a journey where God was putting him together. You and I are on a journey. God is putting us back together the way he desires for us to be. Sin broke us. But he came back. Jesus came to give his life so he could get that picture out of that store. He could fix that frame back up and bring it back to where it should be. That's you and I. I just prayed this morning that there's something in this story, in this lesson this morning, that maybe spoke to you. I know it did to me as I studied. One of the things that really hit me hard as I studied through this is how easily I get distracted from what God wants me, where God wants me. Things show up in life. I'm like, no, I'm not going to persevere. Isaac persevered. He didn't give up. He continued seeking what God wanted, walking in obedience, and God blessed him abundantly. Thank you so much for listening. Let's stand. We'll have prayer, and I think Jay has a song then. God, this morning we're so grateful that you came. You took us in our sin. You forgave us by shedding your blood on the cross, your son, shedding his blood on the cross, giving us life, putting us back together. Lord, we know it's a continual process every day. But I pray, Lord, that you would help us today to be listening. I believe, Lord, you're speaking to each one of us today. I pray that we would listen. And Lord, as you speak, that we would move according as to what you desire of us and walk in obedience. Thank you for the promise that you give us grace and you give us, Lord, so much abundantly. We just want to bless you this morning. Your name is so holy. And I pray this week, as we go throughout our week, Lord, that we would think on this. Lord, that you would grow us, even in the midst of pain and struggle, that you would grow us. Help us to be faithful, to not give up. We bless you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.